Yo. What's up, mi gente? How y'all doing today?
Hi, guys. I always have to bring in the hi, guys. How are
and
we
then I
doing?
hit you with,
I know we've
I
been
know I'm doing
dragging
good.
for a little bit. Welcome to WTF Latinx, the podcast
Yes.
where, what's this podcast again?
Carla, what you mean? Where we talk about culture, traditions, we talk about food, and most importantly, we talk about superstitions and chancletas, boy.
We need like actual like sound effects. Oh my god.
Bro. We have to invest into a soundboard. We gotta get the little, you know. The coño. Diablo.
Well, then that's what you're concerned about. Okay.
Bro.
Hello, everyone. And then just to give you a heads up, we're going to make this episode a random rant because Joshua and I cannot function enough to actually get our shit together to focus on a topic. There's so much going on the world all the time that we're just going to rant about it.
Bro, no, that's a shit. Like, every now and then you need like a mental brain dump, you know, where like you just have those talks about everything all at once.
Yo, so I'm having a croissant, don't mind me.
Wow, I'm over here
sipping in the background.
I had some really salty soup, so now I'm drinking water. Your boy feel like he about to end up being dehydrated for the rest of the morning.
I'm dead. Bro. He got soup in the morning, guys.
Bro,
he's that type of person.
Bro, I don't know who made the soup this morning at the crib, pero se le fue la mano con la sal.
I'm dead.
Bro, I took the first sip. I'm like, ooh, my eyes kind of scrunched up. I'm like, yo, this shit salty.
I feel that. Yo, do you ever just like read certain news or watch something that stays in the back of your head?
All the time. Just random stuff too. Like.
Mm-hmm.
Nah. What do you have in mind? I feel like you're talking about something specifically.
Yeah, so the other day I sent you this TikTok, but you never pay attention to the TikTok, so it's sending you, so it's whatever. About how in 2019, someone discovered a frozen dragon in Canada.
A frozen what?
Dragon. Like, I think it was some sort of type of dinosaur.
Okay, but it resembled the dragon and shit.
Yeah, they said that it was like the size of a small plane or something.
Oye, esa mierda.
And nah. I can't stop thinking about that.
Bro, that's bugged the fuck out, though. To think, though, that this shit, like, this whole world was, like, inhabited by, like, dinosaurs at one point. Mm-hmm. And they get fucking flying dragons.
Mm. That we keep discovering because we didn't know existed.
Bro, I think I remember that article because I read some of it where it said that the dragon was, like, hiding in plain sight.
I didn't read the article. I just saw the TikTok.
No. I think I read a little article. They were talking about it. Like, yeah, the dragon was hit. I think it was hidden in like a mountain. Just kind of there, like in the cut.
And you know what else I remember too was like, there's some country that had some hole in the floor.
Are you talking about the sinkhole?
No, maybe. So I think it was in Antarctica. They were fighting with creatures underwater that we don't know what they are. And I'm just like, so we're just not going to talk about that?
Because so we're just not going to talk about the Loch Ness Monster actually being real?
In Antarctica. Antarctica.
We're just not going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about the the 18-ton squid. That's the sky. That's like the size of a skyscraper.
No, that's true. I forgot about that.
Nah, it's not the size of a skyscraper, but yo, there's so many bugged out like sea creatures under there.
Mm.
Like that's yo, the ocean's one of those things that like, what the digo, bro? We don't know what's down there for real. Like what
I think the ocean is scarier than space sometimes.
High key, bro, because all those animals actually live here on Earth with us.
I mean, we don't even know what all of them are.
Bro, tú no sabes el día que va a salir like un squid out of the ocean. Motherfucker's like 600 feet tall.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking
about? You sound like you're talking from Pokemon.
No, bro, but it's been a proven fact, bro. Like, yo, when you hear the, sailors lost at sea. Nobody knows what happened. Que sé yo qué. Like, it's safe to assume there are creatures out there.
But is it?
Carla, I don't know. What do you think?
I think this croissant is mad good.
You know what's funny about that whole little dragon thing? Mm-hmm. Some of the pictures that they had, mm-hmm. the dragon was all white, and then on the back of the dragon, it had like a red maple leaf. So apparently, scientists can tell that the Canadian dinosaur was repping the Canadian flag way back when.
I was dead.
Bro,
and then that was like, nah, we're keeping this one.
They're like, nah.
Put the flag on it. That's great. I love that.
But sir, I mean, are you sure it looked like that, bro? Put the flag on it. Yo, they got the flag on the moon. We got the flag on the dragon.
You know, touche. That sounds pretty cool.
That's kind of fire. There's also, what else you want to talk about? The president caught coronavirus this morning. Dike, shout out my nigga Trump.
You know, this is a Latinx podcast. Do you ever wonder where we stand in these situations? It'll never be on Trump's side. That's for sure.
I mean, but Trump
for multiple reasons.
I mean, Trump's
the fact that you're a millennial and I'm a Generation Z. So the fact that he caught the disease that he said that was a hoax is highly satisfying. I'm not gonna lie. I don't wish him wrongdoing. I just think it's funny how.
You was talking shit about coronavirus and then coronavirus come and slap your ass right in the cheeks.
Yo, it's like coronavirus heard it. It was like, hold my drink.
Corona's like a pela. Te que darle una pela. Hold her.
Well, I've been on TikTok just watching people be laughing about it because it's like, oh, we thought it was a hoax. Ha ha ha. Suddenly you have it now. So suddenly it matters.
Bro, my favorite people are Trump supporters, but the minute you tell them some shit like that, yo, so the virus is real, he doesn't have that. He has the flu. Trust. I know this. I'm a doctor.
Yikes. Yo, I saw one. I saw a Trump supporter video on TikTok, and it was one of those, like, I think Comedy Central, like, Trevor Noah people that just walk around, and they approached a female, and she was like, a woman could never be president because of hormones and shit. They're too volatile. And then straight up looks at her, and he's like, haven't all wars been started by men? And then she just stared at him and did not know what to respond.
Bro, because motherfuckers is mad stupid.
Haven't all wars been started by men? And she was like, But when I think of a president, I think of a man. Haven't all wars been started by men? A bola tail female is gonna start war for no reason. Fuck, shut the fuck up.
Bro, that's the corniest shit ever. Like, I forget the country. I think it's Australia where they have a female, like the leader is actually a female.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, what was I reading, bro? They have, I think they have, they have like one of the safest fucking countries with like some of the safest policies or whatever. And it's ran by a woman. It's weird as shit.
Perspectives matter.
There are women that do run countries and run them successfully. And y'all over here like fucking clowning, talking spicy. You can, women are too emotional. Men are too emotional, bruh. Yo,
does full on tantrums. Like a 3-year-old, that drives me insane. I was like, where's his mom? Just hit him with a chancleta. Where's the vice president? Just hit him with a chancleta. Get this shit going and let's get this show on the road. We're tired of this bullshit. Like,
that boy has a funny like that facial kid expression.
That cries around in the dollar store because the mom won't buy him a dinosaur. It's like, get him the fuck out and put him on timeout.
Put that man in the corner. Give it, take his binky away from him.
Exactly.
Get no sippy cup for you today. Funk.
Exactly.
Bro, it's funny as hell, bro. It's funny.
And then I also wanted to point out a quote from RBG, who has recently passed away. I don't think we've discussed that.
Nah, we definitely
haven't. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is an icon. And I've been seeing a lot of shirts with her quotes on it. One of them is my favorite, is women need to be in where decisions are being made.
That's a fact.
And it's like, there's all these people saying no, but I'm like, why not? And then they don't have a reason, just because they don't feel like it.
There's never a valid reason. It's always something stupid. Like, oh no, women are driven by emotion. Men are driven by emotion, bro. What happens to a man when he gets turned down by a woman?
They fucking kill them.
They go crazy, psycho. They start crying. Okay. Oh, you wasn't even cute in the first place. Bro, if that's not the most emotional.
You just reminded me of the fact that I've been forcing Josh to watch documentaries, documentary mystery.
Yo, I ain't gonna lie to you.
Murder mystery documentaries with me. We recently watched the Aaron Hernandez one. And then what was the other one that we watched? The family next door, like the guy that killed his pregnant wife with two kids. Yo,
now that I think about it, that man killed 2.5 kids. He bugging.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I forgot she was pregnant too, high key. Bro. All right, let's talk about it. What's up?
So,
what's your thought?
I saw a TikTok that was talking about how when women are in periods, our testosterone levels go high.
Mm-hmm.
So this means on our periods, we're more volatile because we have more of the same hormone as men do. So the thing that men don't like during periods, we're just acting like you, honey.
You too mean. Bugging. Yo, that's one of those statements where whatever I say, motherfuckers gonna take it out of context.
I know.
So it's kind of like,
just let me know. I'm ready.
I'm gonna just be quiet on that one. Nah, I ain't gonna lie to you. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. Damn, that's funny as hell, man.
But what do you think about the documentary?
Which one?
Either.
All right, second one, the second one we watched, that man is by far the worst human being in the world, bro.
Which one? People don't know.
We're talking about the second one, the second name, not the Aaron Hernandez one. The family next door.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, that man is the worst man in the world. Like, yo, just pure spoiler here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, bro. You having a side chick is not reason enough for you to kill your wife.
I don't get that.
That makes no sense. That makes no sense. Like, where in your mind do you think, like, yo, and this is the same shit with the Aaron Hernandez documentary. Motherfuckers really do think, like, yo, if I kill this person, they disappear and all my problems disappear too. It's like, no, you sociopath. No, this shit don't work like that, bro. You just can't kill people and then shit magically disappears. And then you just go about your fucking dandy life fucking skipping down the road and shit. Like, everything's fine. Nah, my G. It was an interesting documentary because I never really paid attention to how many, like, body language cues people give off when they're in the wrong. And from the jump, from, like, the body cam footage, as soon as this man, like, shows up, there's something off. His whole demeanor's off. He's not acting how somebody that actually cares about their, like, spouse would act. It's like, yo, he pulls up to the crib. He parks his car on the side of the road. He goes into the passenger seat. He takes his time to get the keys. It's like,
he's like chilling, like, yo, what's up?
Yo, what's going on? Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, her friend's like, I'm so worried because she needs her medication. Like, maybe something happened to her. And he's just like, doo, 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 doo. Maybe they're at the pool. Because it's a hot day.
That was my favorite part. This man starts giving out random scenarios. You know, yo, I don't think she's here right now. I think she might have left with the kids to the park. Yo, maybe she went out for a walk. I think she went out for a walk. It's like, bro, why is you giving random ass suggestions, bro?
That's how you know he was lying, though.
Yeah, like,
the more he tried to over-explain the, like, guiltier he seemed.
It was that was like the number one indicator. He's like, he's trying to deflect. He's deflecting. Boom, boom, boom. My favorite part was when the police officer, like, he pretends to call some shit in.
Oh, yo.
And this man turns around with the bug eyes, like, oh, shit, they caught me.
The panic eyes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They had the Scooby-Doo eyes, like,
I think it's just crazy how fast he got caught.
No, I don't think it's crazy, bro. I think when you commit a crime like that, and obviously I don't think that man is a murderer. So there was like zero thought put into how he did that. It didn't seem like premeditated murder. It definitely seemed like some shit that just like it was like a crime of passion, low key. At least how he rationalizes it, like we had sex. And then I broke up with her right after. And then she tried to fight me. And then he killed her.
So, the reason why I said it's shocking, it's because it's all in one day. It's like, he killed her that morning, entre comillas. And then that same afternoon, the cops were on that door, being like, where is she? Mind you, remember that she came back at 2 in the morning.
You know what's crazy, though? I see what you're saying, but damn. So
basically, she took out the bodies in the morning, and then at 3 p.m., the cops were like, so what's up?
But you know what's bugged out? The only reason that even happened was because that lady actually had, like, a good friend by her side. Like, yo, if that lady wouldn't have had, like, a strong, like, friend group, or like a strong support system around her with people that actually cared, low key, that shit would have gone unnoticed for months.
That's true, and that has happened in the past.
Nah, yeah, hell yeah, I feel like there's mad cases like that. That's why it's scary when your friends get into toxic relationships and they suddenly like fall off the face of the earth, because the boyfriend like kind of forces them to like the detach themselves from their friends,
distance themselves from the people they care about. Yeah.
That's scary as shit, bro. That's like the first sign that you definitely about to hop into a toxic relationship.
I feel like
I've seen that shit happen.
That's also very telling of their relationship, though. That's why it's so shocking, because it's like he wasn't abusive as far as we can tell based on the documentary.
Nah.
He wasn't abusive. Like, he didn't tell her to go get away from her family, from her friends. He didn't force her to do anything. They were both successful in their different careers. Like, the shocking part is that they were fine.
At least, yo, from the outside looking in, they look.
From the outside looking in. But what I mean is, like, he didn't hit her that we know of. At no point does that come up
in the documentary.
But I feel like if he would have been abusive, like, they would have talked about it.
You know what I think happened, bro?
What?
I think male ego got in the way. Like, when I look at the wife, her personality.
100%.
When I look at her personality, she was definitely the person that wore the pants in the relationship. She was the go-getter. She was the louder of the two personalities. Like, he was more subdued, more to the side. And usually when men are like that, I feel like they won't communicate, like their frustrations with their partner. They're going to, like, hold it back. They're going to keep it in, because Shorty might even clown his ass. Like, yo, why are you acting like a little bitch for? So he's probably avoiding confrontation at that level.
I see it.
So what I think is...
I can see him being resentful and cheating because of that. I still can't see him killing his two daughters because of that.
Nah.
Like, you know what? This is going to sound really dark, but I could even see, like, if it was a crime of passion, like, in the moment, like, not thinking, they just had sex, and then, like, he accidentally, quote-unquote, killing her.
Mm-hmm.
The getting to the children is what fucks me up.
That part don't make sense to me either, bro.
Because, like, let's say, like, they were really upset, and they were actually arguing it, and he, like, and it happened with the wife. What makes you wake up and take not one but these two beautiful little girls with you and throw them down a tank.
Bro, the shit is bugged out. Like,
they were little enough where, like, they could have forgotten, or they could have been raised by someone. Like, they could have had their own lives. But he was so selfish that he couldn't let them live. And that's the part that fucks me up. They were children. He could have given the children to any of the grandparents, like, even the best friend, like a godmother. But he didn't. He killed them too. And that's the part that I don't understand.
Bro, that goes back to what I was saying earlier. Like this man, just like Aaron Hernandez, bro, he thought that by erasing everybody that knew about the crime, that would erase the crime.
Those are babies.
That's the crazy part, though, is like, fam, like, the kids ain't gonna say shit.
Because I understand, I don't know if this sounds really dark, but it's like, I understand, like, situations happen between adults, consenting adults. Sometimes, like you mentioned, they both had, like, he was kind of like the quieter one, and she had a strong personality. I understand that they have a miscommunication some way, somehow, and something happens. Kids is what gets to me.
I feel you. Yo, hold up. Damn, I had a thought. Yo. Damn, low key, I lost what I was thinking about.
Yeah, honestly, same.
Cause yo, that, I don't know. For some reason, I keep thinking that, like, this man maybe he felt like he was less of a man because his wife was she was always in the spotlight, you know?
He was successful.
She's successful, independent, outgoing, go-getter. She was not even a social figure.
How are you gonna get a bad bitch and not be able to handle a bad bitch?
What's the word I'm looking for? She's also a public figure. Yeah, yo, she's a bad bitch. Like, she's a hustler. She got it by herself, you know? And she always gave it, I don't know, there's always a lot of public displays of affection.
Talk about something that you just make me think about. It's really frustrating for me to see this case also, because during there's parts where they talk about, like, when they got married and all this stuff.
Oh my god. Like,
I told him no multiple times. I said that we shouldn't be together, and he insisted. So then they got together, and then they dated, and then got married. And, like,
yo,
are you gonna pursue this woman who is strong and independent? Get her.
And
then lose interest and get a side chick and kill her.
Bro.
Why you gonna waste her time like that? Like, that bothers me.
Nigga, why you gonna waste your own time like that? Like, what is you doing, bro?
It's so crazy.
I think one of the parts that kind of got to me too was when the brother was speaking, and the brother's like, damn, you know, finally she found a good guy. Somebody to, like, actually blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, that shit broke my heart.
The dad, too, was like, I'm glad that she has a good man.
Yo, yeah, it's like, it's low key when you're watching the wedding footage. It looks like the storybook, like, wedding. You know, she struggled to find, like, a good man. Here comes this, like, knight in shiny armor. But he's really, like, he a wolf in sheep's clothing, low key.
Hiking.
It's just like, damn, bro, come on, man. Like, how you do that?
I'm a cat mug.
Yo, everybody, so Carla, low-key, she's not the cat lady yet, but she like cats.
Yet.
Yeah. But now, yo, that shit bugged the fuck out. That whole case got me hot.
Yeah, me too. And speaking of hot, do you know what's the other documentary? Have me... Extra spicy, picante, hot.
Let's talk about it. Damn, extra picante, spicy, hot.
Oh my god. So let's do a little reminder. So Josh and I record from Massachusetts, which is one of the states that the team that represents us is the Patriots. I don't really know much about sports, like, in general. Like, I just don't care. But don't tell nobody that, because then people are very passionate about their Boston Celtics, the Patriots, the Red Sox. Patriots is, but, like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know who plays. And I know there's a few Latinos in the Red Sox, right?
Used to be. Some of them boys got traded. This stuff's still there, though.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you're here because you know more about this stuff than I do. And so I remember a couple of years, I came late to the game as to, like, I knew that Aaron Hernandez was being, like, was going to court. Like, I remember seeing it in the news everywhere, and it was such a huge deal here in Massachusetts because he was loved. He was one of the favorite of the favorite. People loved him. He always won the games, which means that his fans were, like, undeniably, like, strong. Like, his fans were going with him to the ends of the earth saying that he was innocent. So I just remember watching on TV and, like, I didn't even know why he was on TV. I thought he killed a woman. I was like, oh, another case of the, what's the golf player?
Oh, not Tiger Woods.
Yeah, Tiger Woods. I was like, oh, it has to be like another case of the Tiger Woods where he killed his wife or something. And I never paid attention.
Girl, Tiger Woods.
Yeah, so then, like, I see the, documentary, and I'm like, I don't know who this person is or why they ever got arrested. I remember hearing his name. Let me watch it. And that documentary fucked with me big time.
In what sense? Like, what part of it gave you that, made you feel that way?
It's just frustrating to see someone that could have been so great fall out of grace. And it's really frustrating to see someone that was Latino. There's some scenes in the documentary where he's being interviewed by Univision, like telecasters, where he was saying that he loved his sport and he wanted to be a good role model. And, like, it was just so crazy because then everything just goes downhill from there because of bad.
Literalmente, but you know what's crazy? At that It's bugged out because at that point, when he says that, he's already committed, like, multiple murders.
I don't think so yet. I think he was still in Florida. I don't remember. Because he was spoon-fed, bred, raised football. His dad was a Latino Puerto Rican football player. And he grew up in Connecticut, which is a state, like, near us. And I don't want to give too much away, but I think the background is really interesting and, like, has a lot to do with
happened. I feel like you should if you want to give information away, you should, though. I feel like that documentary is so old that
it's about, not that old. I think it came out this year.
Nah, bro, that came out a while ago.
The court cases came out a while ago, but that documentary is not that old.
For some reason, I don't know. Maybe I'm bugging, but I feel like that documentary has been out for a while.
Maybe. I just, like, came across it.
I remember hearing about the documentary, but never watching it. Mm-hmm. Just because I was like, it's Aaron Hernandez, whatever. He killed somebody. Like, the nigga guilty.
I didn't know who it was.
And then when you see the
Yeah, so I think what's really interesting, it's like he's one of those characters that's like he's an underdog. He has an underdog background. So I was rooting for him all up until he got a really big ego and then he started fucking shit up. And I was like, oh, bueno, ya tú te lo buscaste. Like you're asking for trouble. You're treating people like shit. Karma's a bitch, you know? Yo,
big bitch. She gonna get your ass.
There's just something about his background that, like, fucks with me. I think that's what fucks with me is, like, his dad was a football player, Puerto Rican, in the area, a community leader or whatever. It was him and his brother. And apparently his dad was also a big alcoholic and kind of an abusive man to his mom.
Oh, not even kind of, bro. That man was a salvaje.
Yeah, he was a savage, and he was also somewhat homophobic, and there's questions about Aaron's, like, sexuality throughout the documentary, so it really makes you wonder, and he idolized his father, like, he loved his father so much, even though this was a toxic person, that it makes me wonder if it distorted his sense of, like, right and wrong, you feel me? like sometimes we idolize our parents so much.
Yo, I had technical difficulties on my end. I couldn't hear you.
Sometimes we idolize our parents so much that, like, he loved his father, and his father was kind of a piece of shit. So
it's bugged out, right? Because when you're a child, you don't really understand how to process, like, domestic violence.
Yeah.
Like you might actually think that, yo, that's just how you know, men and women deal with issues, you know? They yell at each other. You have physical contact. And in his brain, maybe that was okay. Maybe that's why he didn't, like, I wouldn't say he justified his father's actions, but he probably didn't fully understand his father's actions.
Yeah, didn't understand that it was wrong as a kid.
Yeah, so I feel like that's why, you know, that's why a young boy would idolize his father, no matter how much of a, you know, of a monster they were.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. So it's just crazy because knowing that this person had that background, it's like, damn, you have this shitty home life, but he worked really hard and he got recruited when he was 16 to turning 17 to and then to a university college Joshua. Oh my god, university football.
About the University of Florida. Let's go Gators.
We Massachusetts out here. I don't want haters hating.
What do you say? I don't want haters hating.
I'm like, yo, there's really intense here about their football and their gamers and whatever.
I was like, Josh, chill, don't do that.
I'm like, we can't be making enemies like that. Anyways, then he asks a 17-year-old who still hasn't developed his brain, who's making stupid decisions. He starts getting really aggressive, punching, like, business owners, doing, like, rabieta, like, he's a little brat. He's a 17-year-old that has everything he's ever wanted. He left the state. He left his parents. He's a college student at 17. Losing his control, and then it just goes downhill from there.
When was I think at that point when he was going to the University of Florida, I think he had already lost his father.
Yeah.
So it kind of seemed like Aaron was trying to escape from his reality in Connecticut, and he was kind of like forging a new, I don't want to say identity, but forging a new life in Florida per se. Just to kind of like get away
thing and discovering himself, because his household was really strict.
But I think a lot of his like toxic behavior comes from probably not understanding and not knowing how to cope with the death of your father, mm-hmm. you know? And then, you know, you have like the little issues where his mom ends up going and finding another man. And that other man turns out to be like a friend of the family.
Cousin.
You feel me?
Husband.
Yeah, so it's like, mm-hmm. He's like, yo, honestly, that's a lot to process as a child.
I think that was happening when he came back, though, because I remember that he would spend time on his cousin's house. Remember? That's why he started spending time in his cousin's house.
No, of course. Actually, no. I'm trying to think.
He went to Florida, then he got in with the Patriots, and then he was hanging out with his cousin.
No, because he was hanging out with the cousin earlier when he was younger. Because the documentary says Aaron was 16.
At 16, yeah, he started hanging.
Aaron was 16, being exposed to drugs. The household was more fun. It was more loose. You could swear.
But remember that he got arrested at 22, which is so mind-blowing to me. It's like, he's a baby. He looks like a grown-ass man or whatever. He's a baby.
I think one of the, when you say that, it makes you laugh, because one of the funniest things was when the NFL scouts had the reports, and this man scored like a one for maturity.
Yeah, that really shows you where his head was at, literally.
It shows you where his mindset was at. Not his mindset, but his mental space. Like, yeah, he's an amazing football player, super dedicated and passionate about the game, but like also, mentally, he was still just a kid. He was just trying to do, like, stupid hood rat shit with his friends.
And, like, that's another thing where I wonder if, like, his dad pushed him too hard. Because you know how Latino parents live through their children?
Oh, my God.
Like, I couldn't be this person, so I'm going to force my child to do these things that I couldn't achieve.
To be this person for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I couldn't be the lawyer. You're going to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Yo, I didn't get good grades. You're going to get good grades.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, so it's one of those things that I think that's the part where I'm like, I can relate to that. Like, I can relate to certain aspects of, obviously, I didn't grow up in a violent home. But, like, just, like, the Latino expectations of a parent and how that influences our lifestyle. Like, Latinos tend to do a lot of decisions for their family. Like, when you go to school, it's like, I want to make my mom proud. When you become a doctor, a lawyer, when you do music, when you do art, it's like, I did it for my mom. I did it for my immigrant family that left everything behind so I could be someone. And I see that in Aaron. So it's just sad that it all went to shit.
Yeah, nah, it's bugged out because you're right. Latino parents definitely superimpose their hopes and dreams on you. And mm-hmm. sometimes you end up doing things, maybe things that you're like super talented at, but things that you don't.
And you know what?
Things that don't really speak to you, just to gain that approval of somebody, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say that. Actually, I feel like he seems like a kid that felt trapped in this image of being like the perfect football player. Like, he didn't want it. And that's the funny thing about the whole documentary is everyone's like, he has everything he could want. He has $40 million, beautiful house, a beautiful fiance, a beautiful daughter. What would take someone who has everything to like do something like this? And then they show clips of him in jail and being like, oh, this is a little smaller than your previous house, which is like a huge mansion. He's like, I don't care about where I sleep. He like genuinely just didn't care. Like, he was so tired of being this fake person, of being this perfect person, that he sabotaged himself because he just couldn't
handle it anymore.
You know what I'm saying?
There's definitely a lot of self-sabotage there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think one of the most interesting points was actually made by one of the inmates. No, not – well, he was a semi-pro football player. You remember the guy I'm talking about? Odin's friend?
Yeah.
When he talks about, like, damn.
So I was going to talk about that too, yeah.
Like, yo – Odin loves the game passionately and he pays to play, and he wants to be where Aaron's at. He wants to get out the hood. He wants to feel good. He wants to live in a nice house. But then you have Aaron that has it all, and then Aaron still wants to do like reckless shit. Aaron wants to pretend to be a gangster. And all these dudes playing semi-pro are just trying to, you know, they're trying to they're trying to put that behind them. They don't want to do the street life anymore. They want to find their out. They want to do football. And it was kind of bugged out when he broke it down like that. It was like, damn.
Yeah, he was saying, what's the irony that, like, the victim, which we haven't even talked about the victim, that the victim was someone who played football for fun. It was someone that Aaron knew. And he's like, he played football because he wanted to be someone. And it's ironic that a football player took him.
It's like, come on, man. Like, he wasn't even killed by somebody from the streets. He wasn't killed by a gangster. He wasn't killed by anybody that was, like, you know, living that life. He killed by somebody that was perpetrating, somebody that wanted to live that life. Somebody that was faking the funk, like.
And I feel a little bit bad that we're not talking as much, because this is one of those things where, like, celebrities, that's, like, we're not talking about the victim, and I don't want to take away the importance that we shouldn't idolize or respect Aaron Hernandez for what he did. We should idolize the victim, who was someone that is described as really sweet, hardworking, who wanted to improve the community. It's such a strange concept where, like, I can see both sides. Like, I can see who Aaron could have been, and I can see who the Odin, the victim, could have been. Odin could have been great, even better than Aaron. And it's just like, it's just so crazy how, as mentioned, like, Aaron had a lot of bad friendships and bad connections and underworld. Like, he was best friends with a drug dealer who sold him the gun that he used to use a crime. He was friends with really weird people, and Odin was just like, they just knew each other because they were dating the sisters. And again, oh, it's so crazy. It's so crazy. I don't really know or understand, like, the victim's point of view, like, their family, like, coming from that background. And I feel like I should.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I should understand the victim a little bit more because he was just trying to be someone.
Bro, he's just a regular person, just kind of, you know, living life, going through the motions of life. And just trying to, like, live it honestly, you know? And just indulging in what he wanted to do. And that he loved football. That was what he wanted to do. That was the thing that made him happy.
Yeah. But there's something about Aaron Hernandez where it's almost like he's a robot. Like, it's almost like he was trained to work hard and play, but not think.
Yo.
That, like, just fucks with me. It's like a puzzle that I can't, like, complete.
Think about how macho football is, though, right?
Yeah.
How macho Latino his dad was. So it's like, yo, you're kind of taught to just be void of all emotion. It's like, yo, you're a fucking man. Don't fucking be a pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Stick your chest out.
Toxic masculinity.
High key, though. And it's just one of those things where it's like, yo, that was definitely what bred his being so emotionally closed out to the world.
And, like, it's just frustrating because if he hadn't been raised in a household like that, this wouldn't have happened. But also, would have he become a successful football player if he hadn't that drive of a toxic household? The reason why he became successful was because he was told that he couldn't.
You know what's funny?
And he was like, I'm going to prove people wrong. And he went to University of Florida. So it's just like,
nah, I stop and think about it. And it is whack that he ¿cómo te digo? Like, people strive to become successful their whole lives, right? Thinking that having and reaching a certain level of success is going to bring you
happiness. Or, like, a certain amount of money.
Is going to bring you happiness. And at the end of the day, what's going to bring you happiness is really, like, having that knowledge of self, understanding yourself. And you can live. You could have, like, for example, me, I don't have all the money in the world, but as long as I got a sketchbook and some markers, I'm happy. I'll complain every now and then, but, like, realistically, I'm happy with my life. Like, I don't need $1 million. Like, I would like $1 million, and that would bring a lot of, like, financial security and stability so that I could just sit at home and draw every day instead of going to work. But, you know, I feel like if Aaron would have been taught to, like, just, you know, really truly be himself, and whether that was like a bisexual team that enjoyed theater and fucking ballet, you know, and just work the regular job the rest of his life. But as long as he was happy, that would have been just enough. Or it should have been just enough.
He wouldn't have been a victim.
You know?
And I don't wanna victim blame either, like the parents, like, oh, this is the parents' fault because Aaron came fucked up.
It's not the parents' fault. I feel like it's just a social construct that's built. It's just society and how we're hardwired to, like, look at things and believe things. Hold
him that way, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's nobody's fault. It's really society. It's just a bigger picture, bro.
Like, he was created to be destructive. I guess that's the point of view that we're coming from. But at the same time, it fucks with me how egotistical, like, when people get to that level of power, like, he generally thought that he was... destructible, and then he wasn't gonna get caught because he started doing offenses in Florida. Florida covered him. University of Florida was hiding all the shit that he was doing so he would keep playing.
It was kind of bugged out because
Massachusetts, he had, like, his cousin's friends people cover for him and help him hide the evidence, hide the truck.
They did everything, bro. It's bugged out. It's almost like no.
And not only was he covered, but then he got to move to the Patriots. And then he was like, I had already assaulted a couple people, killed two.
Yeah, he had already killed two people on the streets of Boston.
That is so crazy.
Well, allegedly, because he was actually acquitted of those charges. He never got charged with double murder. So.
Oh my God. But he was there. He was the only one with an intention to kill for something really stupid because they spilled their drink on it, like the victim. I'm like,
Yo, bro, once again, though, that just shows you.
I want to hit him.
It shows you where this man's mind was at. He wasn't like, that man was not fully there, bro.
But you know what's something that confused me a lot was like his relationship with a fiance, because she was there for him every step of the way and never hesitated.
Bro, it's bugged out. To this day, I don't think any allegations of him ever harming her or treating her badly have ever come out.
Because, like, from someone that comes from a household where domestic violence was normal, like...
You think he engaged in domestic violence?
Yeah, instead of taking it out on women, he was taking it out on other men.
And that's where that theory comes through.
He was just, like, reflecting, like, the hatred he had for his dad's abuse and to other men.
Subconsciously.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe... I don't know if he knew what he knew what he was doing consciously. But I feel like it's all rooted in his subconscious and like feelings that he might have neglected as a kid.
Yeah, that I absolutely recommend that documentary to anyone that wants to have like a deeper, it just sucks. Like he could have been great and he just brought shame to the Latino community. And I'm very disappointed. He brings shame. He is that person that brings the stereotypes to like Latinos are aggressive, Latinos are delinquents, Latinos have bad relationships. He grew up normal, mixed with some people that he shouldn't have because he hated his household.
Let's not even talk about stereotypes.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. It's like I wish it could have been greater than a Latino who killed someone and is a delinquent.
I feel you.
So I guess that's what bothers me. It's like, could have been better. But he made his choices and now he has to live with that. Or he doesn't have to live with that.
Well, I mean, his choices echo on throughout the halls of the universe, low-key, on some crazy shit. Like,
yeah, so at the end of the day, I know what he's doing, I guess.
But shout out to the victim family though, because I remember after Aaron died, I forget the name of the law, that old archaic law where like if you die and you have pending cases, you're acquitted of all your charges.
Oh yeah, a super old law here in Massachusetts that I've never even heard of. I was like, that is so crazy. So
shout out to that family for fighting and getting justice for their son, because I think at the end of the documentary, it states that they were able to get that law thrown out. And as a result, like the courts overturned all of their judgments about him not being guilty, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, the victim's family had to go through a lot, especially with like the fans of the football.
You can only imagine, bro. You have so many ignorant people in the football. Like there's a lot of idiots that like football.
Yeah.
Yes, football's a cool sport.
It's toxic masculinity in one, and we got a lot of different perspectives from like gay football players and
that's another interesting thing,
like being there and what people perceive you as just because you play football, like that puts you in this like place where people are gonna stereotype you. This, if you play football, like, this is who you are. Like, no hesitation, no doubt. This is who we think you are.
Oh, no. If you play football, you're a manly man. You're the straightest man alive. You are, you're super macho.
Which is not true necessarily. And we have to start expanding, like, our minds to stop putting people in boxes.
Yo, I feel like that's the number one thing, bro. We can't keep pretending like everybody fits inside of the same box.
No.
And we have to, like, I don't know. I feel like people have irrational fears about sexuality and like, oh, if I'm playing football with somebody that's gay, it's like, that's weird.
It's fucking stupid. That irritates me to the core. I'm like,
corny, bro. Yeah. Or oh, damn, the gay guy is faster than me. He can go, yo, fuck out of here, bro. That's human, no matter the sexuality or the creed.
Yeah.
And you're just not as good as them. You know what I'm feeling?
Yeah.
What?
I'm hoping, you know, that like that was a lesson, a social lesson of like what it takes to get someone hopefully, to the point. But friendship.
Hopefully that documentary serves as like a blueprint mm-hmm. for younger football players that are possibly in a similar situation as Aaron Hernandez and are possibly scared of like living and truly
that
being.
That was another thing about this case is like he was the first ever like current player that was convicted for a crime for this. That had never happened before. I mean, it did happen with like the OJ case, but OJ.
There's a couple other football players that have some dirt.
But I remember them mentioning that. It was always after they retired, never while actually being a current player. And that's also one of those things that made
never when being in your fucking prime too. Like this man was in the prime of his fucking career.
He was just starting and he would just kept getting better. So it's weird. It's freaking weird. It's like, what the heck?
Third boo.
But yeah. Those are some of the things that stood out to me in that documentary. Absolutely, go check it out and let us know what you guys think.
Yes, y'all. Give us some feedback, some of your thoughts.
Yes, go to our Instagram or our Twitter, which is WTF Latinx. And we'll see you guys on the next one.
Wow, y'all already know the vibes. Take care, people.